Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Very much.
Want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Pulse of the Pack, Training Camp Edition. Finally, football has been played, sort of. I am your host, Jacob. Jason, I'm throwing you a curveball this week. Jacob Westendorf. And joined with me, as always, is Jason Perrone. Jason, are you alive?
I am. And Jacob, it's Jace. It's Jace Perrone from now on. So let's make a note of that. No, I'm kidding. Actually, that is what they call me at work. So if any of my coworkers are listening right now, and if they are, I'm shocked because they're all Vikings fans. Hello to all of you, and go Pack, go. You're in for a long season. Jacob, so good to be back at it. And yes, real actual football, never a bad thing. I think you just recently were in Wisconsin and at Lambeau Field. So why don't we start there? Tell the class how your trip to Green Bay went.
I was. I went with my lovely fiance. We were checking out various. She's never been there on a day that was not either a game day or a need to do some stuff for the wedding. So we took a mini vacation, I guess, up there. Tried to take her to practice, but we went up on Thursday and they ended up practicing inside and she was not pleased. She wanted to ask if she could speak with Mike McCarthy and see if they could get them to change their minds because it wasn't raining by the time practice had started. But we went up there. We visited Anduzzi's, which is a favorite of mine, their little upstairs patio area. Very nice in the summer, early stages of fall. And then Friday, they actually showed us the exact spot where we are getting married in about 400 and I think it's 45 days. Forgive me if I've lost count. And that was essentially the trip, just trying to find and hammer out some details for the wedding. So that was fun. And speaking of, I have made jokes several times when we've had guests such as Mrs. Check or Ms. Underwood joined the show that the show gets much prettier in that case. I am actually joined at this point. Frankie is sitting right next to me and listening to the show live. So we have at least one live listener, and I can promise that she is by far the most beautiful guest that I have ever seen. So, Frankie, just say hello, and I will stop embarrassing you.
Hello.
So there we have it. Sorry, no offense to Aaron or Juliana, but you have been surpassed by leaps and bounds as far as beauty on this show. But that was Green Bay for me. Jason, you were telling me that JJ was playing T-ball tonight, which is strange to me because it's the middle of August. We finished baseball down here before August starts in junior tackle, but I suppose JJ is a bit of a pup yet.
Yeah. He turns 4 in a couple weeks, so this is obviously a much less organized and junior version of what we call baseball. It doesn't look anything like that to the trained eye, but they have a ton of fun. And as you know, with that age group, if they pick up the ball and throw the ball to first, that's a huge win. So he's having a blast. He's definitely a baseball kid. But he is ready for some Packers football because he's been running around yelling, "Go, Pack, go," around the house. And I'm not joking. I will actually take some video of this. And I may post this on Twitter if I'm feeling brave. Jacob, I will definitely send you a video of that because you are practically Uncle Jake. So, and to Frankie, hello. It is a pleasure to meet you via phone. And it is a pleasure to have you on the show. I would have to agree with Jacob, and definitely for Jacob's sake. Obviously, the best-looking guest we've had to date. So, fantastic to have you here. Jake, we got a live listen, so we can count at least one in the score sheet. I'm excited. I'm actually going to go I'm going to set up a score sheet here, and I'm going to go start making some tick marks. So, this is an even better show than I thought.
There we go. We got one in the book, and you get Parent of the Year for teaching your son how to scream, "Go, Pack, go." And speaking of the Packers, I'm going to start by channeling the Wizard of Oz, and that is "Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead." And by that, I mean a drum I've been banging since, probably February, if not a little bit later. Forgive me for not remembering the exact date, but LaTroy Guyon finally released today. I don't understand the timing, and quite frankly, I don't care. He should have been released as soon as he was arrested, and he had a suspension coming for performance enhancers, and then he was arrested for driving under the influence. The guy had about 7 strikes here in Green Bay, and I've been talking about several times how this is not a player. If this player were Jordy Nelson or Clay Matthews, unfortunately, that's the way the business works. If you're more talented, you get more strikes. I never understood why they were standing by what is a marginal player. So I will get that out of the way. LaTroy Guyon is gone. Jason, do you have anything to add to that?
No. The biggest thing, I agree with you, the timing is the most curious thing to me. But I will say that I think that by their doing so, I mean, I don't know how much faith you have in their ability to put together a depth chart, but I think the success the team has had over the past, you know, call it however many years you want, I think lends itself to this coaching staff, I think, does a pretty good job of filling out a roster. So if they're cutting Guyon, because I think if you go on the roster, you go on and look, I think they're down to 7 or 8 defensive linemen now, which is a little thin for this early in the preseason, then that tells me that somebody's coming on and maybe doing better than we thought. And my guess, Jake, is very good news for you, because the defensive lineman that I keep hearing about more and more, and I loved what I saw from him when I was at the Seattle game last year, is your boy, Dean Lowry. And so I think Dean might be coming on, and I get that they still need more bodies and they still need some depth, but you let a guy like Guyon go, because say what you will about his off-the-field problems, and I agree with you, it's way overdue. Bigger headache than he's worth, but when he was effective, which wasn't very often, but let's just put our mindset in the terms of when he was effective, he was pretty good. So the fact that they're letting him go, some might be a little panicked and say, well, they're leaving the defensive line thin, but we have the history with this coaching staff to know that they know what they're doing, and it probably means somebody's on the come up, and that's probably good news.
Yeah, that's Dean Watt to everybody, or J.J. Lowry, whichever way you want to put it. And I say that clearly in jest, not J.J. Watt, but that's one of the jokes apparently making its way around Twitter, is that Dean Lowry is now J.J. Watt. I batted a couple balls at family night. Those resulted in interceptions, and he's had a really strong camp. And let's start there, I suppose. Dean Lowry is having the best camp of the defensive linemen. Obviously, after Mike Daniels, it's a lot of unproven along the defensive line, especially now that LaTroy Guyon is not around. Montrevious Adams is out for probably another 5 to 6 weeks with a broken foot. And then after that, I mean, Kenny Clark, he's around. Ricky Jean-Francois, he's around, which, by the way, that's Frankie's favorite name on the team. So a little insight there. But Ricky Jean-Francois, he's around. And then after that, it's Brian Price and, you know, some undrafted essentially camp bodies, at least in my opinion. So it's a lot of decisions to be made along the defensive line. And, you know, the Packers, the year that they won Super Bowl 45, you know, a lot of attention obviously goes to Aaron Rodgers and the game Jordy Nelson had and how good Greg Jennings was. Sorry, guys, but it's true. Charles Woodson, and rightfully so. But something I think that gets a little overlooked is the fact that B.J. Raji was dominant and Colin Jenkins was really freaking good too. Packers had a really good front four that year with those two guys, Clay Matthews as a terror off the edge, and then really between Eric Walden and Frank Zombo, those guys were just good enough, I guess, to put it. I mean, they're not as good as what the Packers have now with Matthews and Perry. If they can get Daniels, who is dominant, and then another guy next to him, has the makings for a solid defensive line, and especially with as much two-man D-lines as they play, Jason, that's really important. I mean, those are the guys that they have a lot of responsibility. They're asked a lot of. So what do you assess of this? I mean, you kind of talked about it a little bit, but what, outside of Lowry, I guess, what is your assessment of this defensive line group at this point?
Well, I know we're going to talk a little bit about the preseason opener and also the camp battles and some of the positions that we're going to be watching for and that we're keying on. And defensive line, I think, has to kind of be an honorary nominee for us both now, because I'm curious to see what that bottom of the depth chart looks like. If they're letting go of Gaia, now we don't always hear about everything that's going on. By the time a suspension is reported or a player gets in trouble, they've already been notified and they've probably already gone through an appeals process behind the scenes. And so it's not like when we hear that a player is in trouble, that's the very first day that anybody knew anything about it. And then the process will take its place from there. So maybe something else was going on with Gaion that made it, you know, as much as the Packers wanted to hang on to him, like you said, for reasons neither you nor I understand, for as long as they have, but they did. But I think this lends itself to that there's some good depth, and so I'm really interested to see guys like Brian Price. I know Lowry's going to come on, and he's going to get his snaps. Ricky Jean-Francois is a veteran, and he's obviously going to be a big part of things now, and it sounds like he's at least embracing his role as one of the veterans on this team, and I think he understands the opportunity that's in front of him and is going to try to put together a solid season. Mike Daniels, we know what we have there. The entire front in the pass rush, I think, is going to be very intriguing. But I don't know that we have a pass-rushing group as far as the defensive line. Some really good 3-4 defensive line are able to get pressure on the quarterback, and that's great, and I think that's kind of gravy based on the defense that I've seen the Packers run. So I don't know that that's necessarily going to happen, but it would be nice if they could come out of the gate and kind of stuff the run like they did at the beginning of last season, where I think they led the league for the first couple weeks of the year. And whether that was a fluke or not, I think – this year, if it happens again, it's legit. You've got Kenny Clark ready to take another leap forward. We know what Daniels is, like I said. You got Lowry. They have the guys now. They got to get that rotation going on. So, like you said, it's going to come down to Ringo, Price, you know, some of those other guys that need to rotate in. And then, you know, I don't know if they have any undrafted guys that could possibly crack the roster, you know, like a Mike Pennell did a few years ago. So I'm looking forward to it. But again, you know, I have faith in the coaching staff that, you know, they've kind of got it figured out, and come opening day, the team's going to be ready to roll up front.
Moving from fat people to skinny people, no offense to the big fellas, but it's the best transition I can come up with. Go right behind them. We're talking about inside linebackers here. And the Packers really have an interesting group back there because, yeah, Blake Martinez and Jake Ryan and Jordan Tripp and Joe Thomas exist. But really, what the Packers are looking at is Morgan Burnett and Josh Jones, maybe both, maybe only one, playing in the middle of that defense and kind of playing as a hybrid player, similar to what you see the Arizona Cardinals do, say, with Dion Buchanan. Packers' way of getting more speed on the field, but still not compromising their run defense too much. So it's really, I mean, I think casual viewers seem to like Blake Martinez more than I do. Jake Ryan, I know our Cheesehead TV colleague Ross Uglum really likes him. He's a Michigan guy, so I have an affinity to him by default there. I think he had some really good games down the stretch last year. Joe Thomas is good in the role that he is in. And then you have those two hybrid players. Josh Jones might be the story of training camp, if not for Michael Clark, the 6'9", and I'm exaggerating a little bit, wide receiver for the Packers. And then you have some other stories, obviously, as well. But Jones has been probably, as far as rookies go, the most impressive one, at least so far. And then, obviously, Burnett with his veteran savvy and just ability to know the entire defense front to back. It's a role they were trying to get him to play last year, but then literally everybody got hurt, so they couldn't do it because Burnett had to play safety because they couldn't move Micah Hyde back there as his replacement because Kentrell Bryce was not ready just yet. But I say all that to say, for example, if the Packers are playing a team like, say, the Dallas Cowboys, and they need two beefy linebackers, you know, they can run with Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez. If they're playing a spread team like the Falcons, they can run with Burnett and Ryan or Burnett and Jones or Jones and Ryan or Jones and Thomas. This is a position that has been horrible for quite some time. And now, Jason, it at least looks like to me they have a deep and versatile group here. And I know I made the joke earlier that, you know, we talked about Randall Cobb playing in the backfield, for example, as the Cobra package, and that was something that you had some distaste for. And this is a little different, exotic, if you will. So how do you feel about this kind of, they're going to call it Nitro or Sooner when one of those guys plays in the middle there. So how do you feel about those specific packages?
Yeah, I was never a big fan of Cobb in the backfield in the Cobra package. And I don't know if it's that it's a defensive scheme that's the more exotic option in this case where you've got these safeties playing linebacker. But I kind of trust Morgan Burnett. I know that he's smart enough to kind of diversify his role a little bit and step up in the middle and help out. And I haven't so much as even seen Josh Jones. I mean, I didn't watch the practice. I haven't watched any live practice at all. I haven't seen any live anything of Josh Jones. I haven't even looked up any YouTube film of him in college. So don't know what he looks like in pads. But from what I've heard, I'm excited to learn more. And I think we caution ourselves against this. We've seen positions of need with the Packers in the past suddenly become positions of strength, according to the media or whoever it might be. And I think we just have to kind of temper our expectations a little bit, because anytime a team is moving into a different style or adding some different wrinkles to their scheme, there's going to be some growing, there's going to be some bumps. And so this could take off and be hugely successful and wildly successful, and all of a sudden Josh Jones is a, you know, dark horse rookie of the year candidate because he's just so phenomenal. Now, it would make sense. The Packers took him in the second round. The second round is like gold with Ted Thompson pulling the trigger, if that was even Ted Thompson's pick, I'm not sure. But I'm excited about it. I think it's a good thing. I think the Packers are doing what they need to do in terms of trying to keep up with offenses around the NFL. And you got to have the right players to do it. And like I said, you know, we trust this coaching staff to make good decisions and put the roster together in the right way. I think this is going to be an experiment that works well. Now, one thing I'll say, and Jacob, I don't know, I kind of want your take on this too, is obviously everybody's favorite punching bag is defensive coordinator Dom Capers. So I've been on the maybe it's time for Capers to go bandwagon since the end of two seasons ago. And, you know, I guess you stick with what you have unless you have a better option. And I honestly can't tell you a better option than I think I'd rather have a defensive coordinator. So I can't say that I necessarily want Capers to go. My only question is that, okay, he's leading the charge here. This is a newer concept. He is, you know, he's kind of a heritage. I don't want to say heritage. Obviously, the NFL is over 100 years old. But, I mean, he is a very old school coach that's got a lot of years in the league. Do we think he's going to be able to lead this change is my question. And I'm not really big on the scheme and X's and O's of things, and I kind of want to get your take on that, if I can kind of kick this back to you, in terms of, do you trust Capers with these guys to kind of get them ready and to make this transition a success?
Well, I know that after the Falcons debacle, the show that we did after that, I basically said, as long as Dom is the defensive coordinator, you can pencil me in as a prediction of anywhere from 10 to 13 wins and a playoff exit at some point where the defense gets embarrassed or makes that embarrassing play, for example, because I wouldn't say that they were embarrassed, quote unquote, against the Arizona Cardinals in that playoff game, but they blew a coverage and Larry Fitzgerald, I think, is still running, for example. So I guess to answer your question, I kind of have both answers because yes, I do trust that he'll use the players to their best of to put them in good position. And I do think there's some credence to the theory that, you know, the Packers haven't had the greatest personnel groupings as far as their defense goes. Like last year, I don't put a ton of blame on Dom Capers for getting just waxed in the championship game because Ladarius Gunter was covering Julio Jones. And Ladarius Gunter right now might be the Packers' fifth corner, which is a good thing. But it also tells you kind of where Gunter was at as far as his skill level. Gunter's a nice player, should never be covering the best receiver in football for my money's worth. So I do trust him to some degree, but at the same time, I'm still on the this guy should have been fired a couple separate times. But he's not, and you know now I'm hoping to have a nice crow by the time February hits and the Packers are playing in Minnesota. So that's my take on the inside linebacker group. Now we transition a bit to your alma mater. Well, I don't know if it was your alma mater, Jason, but I know you hung out around Arizona State quite a bit. And the reason I bring that up is because probably the biggest surprise to the cornerback group is, you know, we kind of came in assuming it would be Devon House on one boundary and then either Kevin King or Gunter or somebody on the other boundary, and that Demarius Randall was pretty much penciled in to be the slot corner. And right now, Mike McCarthy says don't read into who's participating with the ones. Okay, Mike, I'll get right on that. But Devon House, I mean, he's pretty much penciled in as a starter, suffering a hamstring injury hasn't helped, but he'll be a starter when he comes back. And then in the other boundary, it's Kevin King. They're kind of having the rookie trial by fire, baptism by fire, whatever way you want to look at it. And then Quentin Rollins has actually been the primary corner, which is surprising because this is a guy who was kind of a forgotten man. Didn't have the flashy rookie year that Randall had as far as playmaking ability goes. Had a couple nice interceptions, but for the most part, I was more steady contributor than interception maker, if you will. Randall right now looks like a player that's either a dimeback or on the bench. Now, obviously, it's August 9th here. Well, August 8th, excuse me. It's August, so it's early, but I don't know. It's surprising, if nothing else, just because, I mean, Rollins was a guy, again, he came into training camp with low expectations, I suppose. He had a rough year last year as well, but right now, I mean, Joe Witt said he came in and outperformed everybody, and that means House, that means King, that means Randall, Gunter, you name it. Rollins is having the best training camp of all the corners. That, if nothing else, is surprising. So, Jason, how do you shake this thing out? Because this is a position last year that was a big, big problem, obviously, be it injury or inconsistent play. It's a position that has to get better, and really getting the right combination of players is crucial this year.
Yeah, it is. I am very encouraged to hear about Quentin Rollins. I can't claim I was on the Rollins bandwagon and that I knew he was going to be okay and that he was the man. I won't say I gave up on him. I definitely had a bigger issue with the way Demarius Randall played last year, and I know they both had injuries. But I, for some reason, I just felt like Rollins' injury just seemed a little bit more of a reason why he was regressing than what we saw from Randall. So I'm very happy to hear about Quentin Rollins that he's stepping up. And as far as I know right now, and I agree with you, Mike McCarthy can stand at the podium and tell us, you know, what is and is not important. But dude, we've been through this 11. We're going on year 11 here. I mean, come on. We might have been born at night, but we weren't born last night. So Quentin Rollins, as far as I know, is starting opposite Devon House when House is healthy. I am a little concerned here. He's got a hamstring injury, only because we know hamstrings can tend to linger and they might pop up as another injury later in the season, and then all of a sudden he's missing time. And if House is missing time, that could be a little bit of an issue in terms of cornerback depth. But I'm encouraged what I hear about Rollins. I'm encouraged about Kevin King. My expectations for Kevin King right now are pretty low. I don't think that – I mean, yeah, technically he was – you know, he's not a first-rounder. He's a second-rounder, and you expect those guys to play and step in right away. But at corner, we've talked about it on this very show. Corner is one of the toughest positions to transition from college to pros, and you don't just become great overnight. You've heard some people talk about King and his – size being comparable to Richard Sherman, and as soon as you start throwing around names of guys who are really established, you know, you place this huge, you know, brick of expectation on them, and it can be kind of daunting for them to overcome. But I think they're picking Kevin King. I think they did their homework. They like who he is as a guy and who he is as a player. I'm encouraged there. Demarius Randall, like you said, the Arizona State angle, which is my alma mater, by the way, yes. He's a really interesting case. But I think that they're doing the smart thing right now. It's kind of one of those things where he's going into year three, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jacob, but isn't it, I think it's usually year three or year four where it's like, listen, if a player is going to be great, there are probably examples of some guys who took longer to break out. I mean, look at Nick Perry, look how long he took because of injuries and whatever, you know, and I'm not saying he's great, but he's gotten very good, and he's much better than what we all thought he was. But I think by year three or four, you kind of know if a guy's going to be good or not. So this is a very important year for Demarius Randall. And from that standpoint, I think that they're kind of taking the approach of, well, let's move him inside. If that doesn't work, then we know we have a problem with this player. We know that he's going to be kind of a middle guy on a depth chart, and he's going to, you know, he's not going to be able to start. I think what nickel corners and inside and slot corners are asked to do, I think he'll be very good at, because when he was at Arizona State, and as we've seen at times with the Packers when he's been very good, he's got a nose for the ball, and he can get after it. And he's got the swagger. When he gets confidence, he has the swagger to play corner the way you kind of need at least one guy to play in that position on your defense so that you can kind of mitigate some of the opponent's passing game. So corner, definitely a spot to watch. I know Herb Waters is injured, so the experiment of moving him from wide receiver to corner has ended. He's on injured reserve, so that's kind of a bummer. So this is another position group I'm kind of interested to hear about in terms of how it's going to shake up. But I think that Randall, I would be surprised if it more doesn't work than it does work, moving him into the slot. And you got Rollins, House, and maybe Gunter and King kind of battling it out for the outside. I don't hate that scenario.
Yeah, that's really a good way to put it there. Let's transition to offense here. And it seems like we talk about this position every single camp. Wide receiver. And I kind of brought it up at the beginning of training camp that we know Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, and Jordy Nelson are going to make the roster. After that, I mean, there are guys that you have better bets on, but I'm not going to say nothing would surprise me, but there's a pretty large list of combinations of players that can make the roster. And that was including, at the beginning of camp, we were talking about Geronimo Allison, Trevor Davis, D'Angelo Yancey, Malachi Dupre, and Jeff Janis. And now Michael Clark, undrafted free agent, has thrust himself firmly into the conversation because he just continues to make plays. He's tall. He's a receiver type that the Packers don't have. But as Mike McCarthy has said, he's got a, quote, long way to go. But when you keep making plays like that in camp, you're going to get somebody's attention. I mean, the New York Jets are supposedly an NFL team, and their number one receiver, whose name is Quincy Enunwa, is on injured reserve. So sneaking receivers to the practice squad this year are going to be a risky proposition because of crappy teams like that existing. But then you have D'Angelo Yancey, Malachi Dupre. Those guys have both made a play or two. They've had their moments. Trevor Davis has inserted himself pretty firmly into this conversation because he's looked really fast, and we knew that, but he looks more polished as a wide receiver, which, I mean, if there's anything we've learned from our Lord and Savior, Janus Christ, is that you can't just run fast in a straight line. You have to be able to do the ins and outs of playing receiver. And it looks like Davis has at least learned some of that and contributing in the punt and kick return game. This is a guy who last year had a really impressive punt return against the Atlanta Falcons the first time they played, and has the speed and the wiggle and the agility that, in my opinion at least, I don't think Randall Cobb has at this stage of his career to make those moves and be an effective punt returner with some danger. If you put Randall Cobb back there, I'm confident he's going to catch it. And that's about it. Davis, I would like to see him be the primary returner as both kicks and punts going into the season if he wins that job. But staying on the receiver front, Jason, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, I guess the good news is the Packers have, between Joe Callahan and Brett Hundley, their backup quarterbacks aren't a complete dumpster fire. So the receivers should be able to get some work in the preseason games. So when it's all said and done here, let's just say, I don't want to fill out the depth chart just yet because we have time for that. Who's going to be the number four wide receiver, let's say in week two, because Geronimo Allison is suspended for the first game of the season? My money personally is on Trevor Davis. What do you have for the team's number four receiver?
Okay, and I'm assuming, because I think he's only suspended one game, so week two, Allison could potentially be the fourth guy, or are we taking him out of the equation for this?
Yeah, week two was brought up because, yeah, that is when he'll be back. So you could pick him here if you wanted to.
I do think that he's going to get put right back into the lineup. You saw what he did at the end of last season, he being Allison, and he made some really nice catches. I keep thinking about that touchdown in Detroit against the Lions, which was probably a better throw than a catch, to be honest with you. But he makes those plays, and he came on, and the spotlight wasn't too big for him. So I think the Packers are going to want to get him back into the mix as soon as possible when the games start counting and get him into that rotation. If it's not going to be Geronimo Allison, I think you hit the nail right on the head, Jake. I think it's Trevor Davis. I mean, Trevor Davis was a guy that some of us didn't even know was going to survive this training camp in this offseason because there were so many receivers. It's a logjam. We talked last show about how many we thought the Packers might keep. We speculated, and I said I could easily see seven happening, and that means Janis is kept and he's still in the equation because of his value on special teams. So I think it's probably either Allison or Trevor Davis. Both are great options. As far as the kick game or the kick return game goes, I'm with you. I think I'm done with Randall Cobb back there. I've been done with Cobb back there, not because I don't think he's good, but I would rather have him saved for offense. He's a guy that Aaron Rodgers trusts. He made a couple of nice catches at family night. He's still effective. He may not be the burner that he once was as a rookie. We all remember that long kickoff return touchdown he had against the Saints in his first game, and if you're anything like me, you probably thought he was going to have 100 of those in his career, but it turns out that was, I think, the only kickoff return. I think he had a punt return for a score as well. But, yeah, I think Trevor Davis has proven that he's got to move up the depth chart and he's got to be valuable. And I read Ryan Wood kind of tweeted out today, I guess Trevor Davis just burned past the entire defense and scored on a long touchdown. And those are the kind of things that we have been – so hungry for as Packers fans. The shot play was kind of it's been an absentee the last 2 years. Jordy Nelson missed the 2015 season with the ACL injury, didn't have any opportunities really to make that particular play last year. So Davis is the deep guy, and he's actually going to make it happen. I think he missed on a couple opportunities last year. That's exactly what this Packers offense needs. And I'm telling you, as we hear about more and more wrinkles, we know the tight ends are good. We know Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks are going to get their catches. Richard Rodgers is apparently catching everything at training camp. We know Nelson's going to be good. We keep hearing about all these different wrinkles on offense, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to start getting all hyperbole here and go overboard, but 2011, this offense could be knocking on the door of 2011, if you ask me, if we're just going off of these first 2 weeks of practice.
It's interesting because, you know, the one thing that 2011 had was, I mean, obviously you have Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, James Jones, Jordy Nelson, and JerMichael Finley. This team, not quite the same, but Jordy and Devontae and then Randall Cobb and Martellus Bennett. And, you know, after that, I guess if Trevor Davis becomes something, that brings the shot play into equation. And the other thing they have that they didn't have back then is a matchup running back for the passing game. Ty Montgomery, kind of quieter, I suppose, is having a really good camp. And because the only reason that's quiet, I guess, is because of all the other stuff that's going on as training camp progresses. But Ty Montgomery is having a really good camp. And fourth-round pick Jamal Williams is pushing him for reps with the ones, which, in my opinion, doesn't hurt anything. I mean, I'm a firm believer that the NFL is less about running the football and the concept of establishing the run is pointless. And I think the Packers did it absolutely perfect for the running back position this offseason. They didn't invest a top 100 pick in a runner. They trusted Montgomery and their development in him. And they also have Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, and Devontae Mays in camp to do some different things. And all three of those rookies do different things. But those two specifically, Williams and Montgomery, the way Marcus Eversole, former host of this show and friend of mine and yours, Jason, said today on Twitter, it's Montgomery, Williams, and then everybody else. And I wrote a story last week basically saying the biggest way for the rookies and for Montgomery to stay as the starter, but for the rookies to get on the field is pass protection. And I get all through all that. I'm excited to see this running game, as weird as that sounds, because I hate the running game once it actually starts. But, you know, last year, the instability at the running back position hurt them because Lacy was in and out of the lineup, eventually out for good, and then it was Montgomery for a while, and then he was out, and then Niall Davis and Don Jackson were getting carries, and those guys were – neither one of them were very good, and they were both gone pretty quickly. And then eventually they settled on Montgomery, and then Christian Michael had like a brief moment in Green Bay where he was okay, and then he was actually brought back this offseason and eventually cut. But those guys, now you have some stability at the position with Montgomery, and it looks like Jamal Williams is the other one, but – Jason, talk to me about this running game and just what exactly are your expectations for the running game this year? Is it something you want to see more of? Is it something you're all kind of okay with how they did it last year? Or, you know, do you even want to see less of it, so to speak?
I like it. I want to see more of it. And more of it can mean whatever they do with Ty Montgomery. So that could be him flanking out on him out of the backfield as a pass catcher. It could be him carrying the ball between the tackles. It's interesting. Montgomery, I talked to someone the other day, was a Packers fan, and they kind of were asking me for my take on this year's team because they listen to the show and they you know, they read Cheesehead TV where I do some writing and they follow the team. But the prevailing thought was, he's like, well, you know, I can't believe they're keeping Ty Montgomery back there. He just doesn't have the size. I just don't think he's not built like a running back, so I don't know why they've got him back there. And I kind of, you know, just kind of let him finish his thought, and we talked about a couple different things, and I kind of wanted to just tell him, like, hey, why don't you go and pick 10 running backs that you know in the NFL right now, pull up their measurables, and then pull up Ty Montgomery, and tell me now after you see them side by side if you don't think that Montgomery doesn't have the build to be a running back. He absolutely does, and he's got a skill set that's going to drive defensive coordinators nuts. And it's not just because Montgomery is so good by himself, but because he's one of so many pieces on offense. I just talked about how all these new wrinkles keep coming out. And it's like, you know, the defense may not have to be all that stellar this year if they're going to score that many points. Now, obviously I say that tongue in cheek because we know how things have ended in seasons where the offense was good and the defense was not. If you want to win late in the season, you got to have a good defense, but the run game is going to do things this year if these guys stay healthy. And Jamal Williams has impressed so far, but it's really going to start to matter, and it's really going to start to take shape once these guys start playing in some games. So they're going to get reps. I imagine Ty Montgomery is probably not going to see a ton of time in the preseason. So Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, Devontae Mays, these guys are all going to get their chances to run the ball. I'm almost curious if, and I haven't seen him play, but I'm almost curious if Mays doesn't work his way onto the roster and become maybe an option as a kick returner, because they kind of like that running back build at kick return, and maybe later in the season he's a bigger guy and it's colder, and you know, he's a guy that can maybe be a little bit more effective in that role. I agree with what Marcus said, and I think what you're saying is that, you know, it's Ty Montgomery and Williams and everybody else, and that's probably the case. But I think they've got a good group. And as we know, speaking of things Mike McCarthy says that people roll their eyes at, you know, Mike McCarthy will tell you all day that they've got a balanced offense. So whether we like it or not, Jacob, the Packers are going to run the football, and they're going to run the football at least 50% of the time. So we better get used to it, but I'm ready for it, and I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a really good thing. I think it's going to be a very, very important and effective thing for the offense this year.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Devontae Mays, and something I was able to stream a little bit of Family Night, which is a great thing that TMJ does. So appreciate you guys out there if you guys are listening. If nothing else, it gives me a chance to watch practice. If I'm not able to get up there like this year, well, this year I was able to get up there. It's just the weather didn't cooperate. But Mays just is a big, built, different-looking dude. And he's one of those dudes, Jason, you said it perfect. Like, late in the season when it's cold and nasty outside and the Packers are trying to run the clock out, that's not a guy that I think I would want to tackle. Well, granted, after some of the things I've seen in this game and some of the access I've had and such, I wouldn't want to tackle any of those guys. But he's one especially that I would not want to tackle, because he runs, and without the punching guys in the face after game issue, kind of reminds me of LeGarrette Blount. Maybe he's that power back type that the Packers haven't had. But I'm excited, as much as I can be excited about a running game, just because of the difference and the versatility in this year's game. You know, we're not talking about James Starks, and we're not talking about, with all due respect to these players, James Starks or Ryan Grant, even Lacy outside of, you know, he had a pretty good stretch his rookie season, and then he had a good, obviously a very good 2014, a rough 2015, and a good five-game stretch. But there were even times where just, I mean, if he gets out in front of the pack, I knew he was getting run down. And some of these guys, it just kind of feels like a fresh start. You don't have that shadow hanging over your head of, you know, is Eddie Lacy overweight? Is James Starks going to be healthy? Is Ryan Grant any good? I know that was a debate for a while around here. So that was interesting, if nothing else, as far as the running game goes. And I'm excited to see how that shakes out in the preseason, because I know, if not, I do know for a fact that in the preseason, Mike McCarthy likes to run the ball quite a bit because he wants to get out of there as quickly as possible. Moving on to quarterbacks, first of all, one of the all-time greats in Packers history has come out of retirement. Jay Cutler is a Miami Dolphin. Congratulations, Jay. I appreciate everything you did for my franchise, my favorite team. And jokes aside here, Miami, I think, assuming Ryan Tannehill is going to miss the season, I think Miami did the right thing here. Cutler had the best year of his career with Adam Gase, and this is an offense in Miami that has far more weapons than that offense in Chicago did, assuming they can stay healthy. I know that Cutler becomes the butt end of a lot of jokes, especially among the Packers fan base because of how poorly he played in Green Bay, but he's not the worst quarterback in the league. And realistically, it saves Miami from having to use a draft pick on a quarterback, and they're trying to compete this year. So I think Miami's done a good job there as far as bringing him in. Jason, do you have any comments on Jay Cutler?
Same old Jay.
Of course, that will always be my favorite rant by Charles Woodson. And I think every Packers fan that lives in lore there. But so let's move ahead. It's Thursday night. Well, it's Tuesday right now, actually. But Thursday night is the first preseason game of the year. Packers play the Eagles Thursday night at Lambeau. If this were a regular season game, it would be rivalry night in my house. But since it's the preseason, none of us really – well, I'm not going to say we don't care. But, you know, who wins and loses, it's just not that big of a deal. So what are three things you're watching in this preseason game, Jason? For me, first and foremost, I talked about it earlier, it's the cornerbacks. because there's been a lot of turnover, and Devon House is probably not going to play with that hamstring injury. So the young guys, Kevin King, Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins, Ladarius Gunner, Josh Hawkins, those guys are going to get a lot of reps, and Carson Wentz is supposed to play. So it's not like they're going to be playing the scrub quarterbacks, and the Packers are going to have a chance to at least get some decent work against some decent players, as opposed to, you know, one of my favorite lines from Major League 2 is Rube, the character, is sitting there next to the manager, Lou Brown, and Willie Mays Hayes hits a home run, and Rube just goes, "Wow, Willie's really got some power." And Lou just kind of looks at him with this disgusted look and goes, "Off a guy who'll be bagging groceries in a couple weeks." These guys won't be bagging groceries, that at least some of the starters will be playing. So I'm interested to see that and how they do. Secondly is Brett Hundley. Last year he kind of got robbed of his preseason because of an ankle injury. He had a really good preseason his rookie year. Last year didn't get to do a whole lot. This year, this is a guy the Packers are going to try and groom and make a trade chip out of him. And we'll see if they're able to do that. As many bad quarterbacks as there are in the NFL, I imagine some team will give up. I mean, I'm not saying a first-round pick, but if Hundley performs this preseason, this is a guy that the Packers could get something out of. I don't know what that something is, but he's got to play well this preseason. This is a big year for Brett Hundley. And realistically, we talk about these receivers, their performance is connected to the quarterbacks as well, because these guys have to be able to get work from the quarterbacks. And if it looks like Graham Harrell and V.J. Coleman and Vince Young throwing passes, then none of them are going to get any opportunity to catch any passes or make any plays, because the quarterback play is terrible. Hopefully Hundley and Callahan are able to do some decent things to at least – something I appreciated about Joe Callahan last year was he made the preseason watchable. It's pretty rare that that can happen, but he did do that. But I'm watching Hundley. Finally, his pass rushers. I doubt Matthews and Perry play much, if at all. Can anyone else distinguish themselves? Obviously, Vince Beagle's probably not going to play, but after that, you've got Kyler Fackrell, you've got Jayrone Elliott, Jonathan Calvin's done a few things, Reggie Gilbert's done a few things. It's got to translate to gameplay, because like I've said it before, coverage is a big deal, obviously, but I am a proponent of you got to put the quarterback on his back and you got to make him uncomfortable in the pocket. The Packers have to get after the quarterback. Matthews and Perry are going to be a big part of that, but they need help because those guys are not exactly the pinnacle of health. And not only that, it's just they can't play 90 snaps, 100 snaps a game. You got to keep your rushers fresh. So we'll see how that works and how that goes. But those are the three things I'm watching. Jason, what are you watching Thursday night when that game kicks off?
Well, one of them I kind of already talked about. So the first area is the defensive line, because I want to see how this depth shakes out and what these other linemen have to offer. I kind of have gotten better at watching the line play at the snap instead of just following the ball. So looking forward to seeing what the big guys up front can do. I obviously want to see Mike Daniels and Dean Lowry and their limited snaps do something and at least show me that they're in early season form and closer to mid-season form, because they're pros and they've been through this before and they know what they're doing. And I'm interested to see Ricky Jean-Francois too, and how he fits in and how he looks out there. So that's area number one for me. And the second area is we talked about this one as well. So then I want to see this new defensive look. I'm really interested to see Josh Jones in live action. He really brings the nasty, and now it's okay to hit somebody. Now it's okay to put them on their back. Now it's okay to lay the wood, as they call it, in a legal way without drawing a flag, of course. But looking forward to seeing him and some of these safeties in their new role, although I don't know if Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy are going to kind of keep their cards close to the vest, and they're not going to show much of that during the preseason and unleash it in the regular season. But I would imagine it would be a good idea to at least do a little bit in live action while they can. So hoping to kind of see how that whole thing works out. And a couple guys we've not talked about and that I think are going to get lost in this whole equation is that, you know, let's not forget about Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez. They're still important guys on the defense and as inside linebackers. And Martinez entering year two, and if he can stay healthy, I mean, he made some pretty energetic plays last year. I'd say from an athletic ability standpoint, he's probably got Jake Ryan – beat in that area, but Jake Ryan's going into year three and he seems to have improved each season. And so I'm looking forward to seeing those two guys. So I guess we call it the middle of the defense that I'm looking forward to watching. And then I want to see these young running backs. You know, I I want to see what Jamal Williams brings, Devontae Mays, Aaron Jones. Now, Aaron Jones is kind of, you know, I mean, talk about a guy lost in the shuffle. I mean, everyone's talking about Mays because of the comparisons to Eddie Lacy. And obviously Williams is the first running back taken in the fifth round. And so because he was a high draft pick or a higher draft pick, everybody's really high on him, and the Packers need running back. So Aaron Jones, who I've heard, has done a really good job in pass pro. And that's something that also, obviously, those of us who have the understanding and knowledge of the Packers offense know that it's very important from the running back position is not just the effectiveness with the ball, but keeping Aaron Rodgers from getting his head taken off. And obviously by the time those guys are playing, Aaron Rodgers will be safely on the sideline wearing a baseball hat. So it's going to be someone else, probably Brett Hundley or Joe Callahan or other, but those are the other areas, I guess, as an honorary fourth area. Jacob, and I don't know if we have time to kind of talk about this at all, but special teams wasn't getting too much love after family night, and Mason Crosby had an atrocious night. I think he missed six kicks after having only missed one all of preseason and in training camp. You've got a new long snapper, and you've got a new punter and a new holder, and so I think that's an area where the Packers are going to have to get things, as they say, cleaned up. Although we know long snapper Brett Goode is still out on the free agent market, and I think at this point, if the Packers needed to bring him in, they could easily do so and kind of solve at least one of those areas of the equation. But I'm looking forward to some real football. It's time. It is time, and I'm very excited about it. Those are my areas to watch.
Yeah, just to talk about the kicking game real quick, Crosby, not a good night on family night. I believe it was the year that Tavecchio was in camp. Crosby was just terrible on family night. I ended up making the team that year, and he's been awesome since then. Obviously, made the game-winning kick last year in Dallas. Frankie seems to think that being a field goal kicker is easy, and she's going to take his job next year. So if that does happen, you heard it here first, that Hrabarski will be on the back of your kicker's jerseys. But actually, it'll be – well, no, it won't be Westendorf by then. Not quite yet, at least. But, yeah, he's been really good. Not a good family night, obviously, but I believe today he made either all or all but one of his kicks. So something to keep an eye on, but ultimately I think they'll get it figured out. These guys, if you've been to a training camp practice, you see how much time the punter and the kicker and the long snapper have to just snap, hold, and kick. That's a little different in 11-on-11, but they can figure out, you know, the technical operation on those sides of things. Jason, last time we did this show, you made an announcement of a new jersey purchase. Have I told you the one that I bought?
You probably did, but you've got so many that if I would gun to my head right now, I'd be a little nervous.
Fair enough. On Friday, we toured the new Packers Pro Shop, which is gigantic, by the way, and it feels like it gets bigger every time I'm there. But Martellus Bennett, the Black Unicorn, was added to my collection. Obviously, I've had an affinity for him for quite some time. Not only that, but he says that his jersey sales go to – proceeds from his jersey sales go to youth sports in Green Bay. As somebody who helps in youth sports leagues all over the place, easiest way to get me to spend a little bit of money. But, yeah, Martellus Bennett was purchased by me on Friday last week. So that is new for me. And finally, before we sign off, a new project of mine that I am starting. For those of you that listened to Packers War Room in the off season, we had a guest on that show. His name was Vach Lombardi. Those of you that are big into YouTube, Vach will be familiar to you as far as film breakdown and college film, rookies, all kinds of stuff. He asked me to start a project with him, and I will be breaking down film from Packers games starting this Thursday when they take on the Philadelphia Eagles. I won't be instant, obviously, because it'll take some time for the game pass and all that stuff to get on there, but I'll be breaking down film for his team. The YouTube channel is Pulse of the Pack. I use the same one because it's a way that Jason and I may toil around with some YouTube stuff this off season, or this season, as well. But that is the YouTube channel. If you check Pulse of the Pack and could subscribe to that, I would appreciate it. And let me know what you think, what you want to see, all kinds of stuff like that as well. That is my new project for this season, is kind of breaking into the film world, if you will. It's going to be a challenge for me, but I appreciate those sorts of things. Jason, it's been a while, and we haven't closed a show in a while, but I want to know before we sign off, did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I think we're pretty well caught up, and there's going to be a lot to talk about after some actual football on Thursday. You talked about your field trip to Lambeau, which, of course, is very important. I have to say, Frankie, they're pretty excited to be standing in that spot. So, you know, no pressure on you to make that day very special and perfect. And I have a role in that as well. And I know that we together, and, of course, with the help of the rest of your fine clan that will be there in attendance as well, for those of you who are not fortunate enough to be on the group Facebook message, it is a very eclectic bunch. So I'm thinking that the stories, the pictures, and the video from that weekend are going to be rather epic. And obviously we're going to be very, very closely watching next year's schedule as it comes out, because if that happens to fall on a game weekend, then all bets are off. And I would probably all start making your underground cellars and stocking up on fruit cocktail and government rationed food, because it could be the last of anything that we know in the world today. So great to be back at it, sir. As always, look forward to hopefully doing one of these the next week or two, talking about some actual football. Go Pack, go.
Absolutely. And yeah, Thursday night, Lambeau Field, 7 o'clock, Packers Eagles. It's a preseason matchup, but we all know that we're starved for football. I will be excited to watch it. I want to thank our sponsor real quick. They're sponsoring us again this season. That is Ticket King, ticketking.com. It's right down the street from the stadium. Grab your tickets. Come on in and cheer on the Pack. One other thing Thursday marks, it is 1 month from Packers versus Seahawks, for those of you that don't follow my immature lingo there. But that is the opener, Packers-Seahawks at Lambeau Field. That is 1 month away from Thursday. It's exciting stuff. All kinds of exciting stuff coming in the next month or so. Football season's back. Is there really a better time of year? I don't think so, and I think if anybody says anything, they're lying. But thank you, guys. Thank you, Jason, as always, for listening to Pulse of the Pack.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.